Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today, because we've got a great show planned for you. Here's my question to kick off the conversation. How intimately do you walk with the Holy Spirit? I mean, how intimately do you make it a habit to listen to the nudge of the Spirit within you, and where you respond to the nudge, where you sense God saying, make the call, write the card, check on your neighbor, take a different route to work. Do you sense that you've got a living, breathing walk with the Lord? Can you sense His supernatural intervention in your daily life? Well, my guest today is Sarah Bowling. I love this girl. She's written another really great book. It's titled In Step with the Spirit, Infusing Your Life with God's Presence and Power. I just think this is a powerful work. And if you just long so much to walk more intimately with the Lord, you want this book. We've got 3 copies. I wish we had 100 to give away. We've got 3. So you got to email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put Holy Spirit or something like that in the subject line, and we'll know this is the book you're going for. A couple quick announcements before we hear from Sarah. Faith Radio is growing. It's just amazing. We give God all the glory and praise, and we thank you for your partnership. I just want to give a shout out to, if we've got friends, new friends listening in our Hartford signal, 94.1 FM, or maybe 93.1 FM in Waterloo, or 89.1 FM in Bismarck. Let's see, 104.7 FM in Madison. We've got a couple FM signals in the Twin Cities as well. Maybe you're streaming online. No matter what, if you're brand new to the Faith Radio family, listening in one of these markets, I want to know about it. So email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put new listener in your subject line and let me know where you're listening from. Every week I draw a couple of names and send some books off of our Faith Radio shelf as our way of saying welcome to the family, and we're so grateful to be part of yours. Well, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Sarah Bowling founded Saving Moses, an international nonprofit organization that provides resources for children in need. She and her husband, Pastor Reese Bowling, co-pastor of a multi-generational church in Denver, where they live with their 3 children, and we're so honored to have her back with us today. Dear Sarah, welcome back to the program.
Yay, Susie.
Yay.
Super excited to be with you today.
Super
thrilled.
Great. Same here. I was looking forward to this interview for about a week now, knowing that you're joining us and such a good job on this book. I know it's a labor of love. It's not an easy thing, but you did a great job.
You're kind, kind, kind. Mm-hmm. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, you know this because you've been on before. We love to start every single day talking scripture and wondering if you've been pondering a verse these days, or if you've got a life verse you can share with us.
Yeah, I was praying about it, and it goes with the book really well. It's Romans 8:14, and it says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And I just feel strongly, you know, if we're going to be in step with the Spirit, that's being led by, and that's active, being led. I mean, that's every day. That's not like I checked the box, I did it once, but that's like ongoing.
Yeah.
And when we walk with the Holy Spirit like that, it really validates our family status. You know, we're children, we're like sons and daughters of God, and walking with the Holy Spirit really confirms that on a daily basis.
And what a privilege, right? I mean, we carry this treasure in these earthen vessels. It's an unfathomable privilege.
Yeah, it is a massive privilege. And, you know, it's like an adventure of a lifetime.
Yeah,
you couldn't
indeed set
up a bigger adventure in your whole life than walking with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
It is so fun. I mean, oftentimes at my conferences when I'm speaking, I can feel people gasp a little bit. But I say, when the heavens look down on all of these people walking the earth, they're not trying to discern who in the zoo, who's a Christian and who's not by behavior. I mean, our behavior matters, but it's His light shining in our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit in our hearts. That's what marks us and seals us for the day of redemption. But we're kind of quick to forget about this treasure within. So maybe start there, if you would. Why we tend to maybe miss and forget and even minimize the gift and the treasure of the Spirit of God within us.
I think we do that because just the term spirit.
Yeah.
Spirit feels so kind of floaty, you know, like ethereal and kind of, we think of clouds and mist. And so I think just for the nature that it, the spirit doesn't have, so to speak, tangible, you know, hold it, smell it, touch it, feel it, see it. So it's easy to kind of neglect or dismiss or ignore or just overlook. It's not even intentional. I just think we can kind of get on with life and oops, I forgot kind of idea. So I think that's an easy mistake that all of us can make and do make, actually. I know I make it from time to time still. Having written this book, I still am like, ooh, sorry about that. I overlooked you. I missed it. Shoot.
You know, I've heard it said that because of maybe excesses or misinterpretations, some are so afraid of even conversation around the Holy Spirit, and they would say that the Trinity, without saying it, is Father, Son, and the Holy Scriptures, where indeed the gift in the Word is a gift of God. God breathed, but the Trinity is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So say a word, if you would, about the Holy Spirit, what we can know about the Holy Spirit.
Sure, and I completely appreciate people getting really concerned and, you know, kind of decreasing, pulling back, and hesitant with some of the excesses. But we can't neglect what Jesus said in John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper. That's the Trinity right there. Mm. The Father, that's Jesus. I will ask the Father. That's God the Father. Will ask for another Helper. That's the Holy Spirit, Parakaleo, to come alongside, to comfort, to console, to help, to instruct, to defend, to be with you forever. And so I think that we can't make the Holy Spirit like the JV Trinity, you know.
Amen.
Like,
yeah.
Jesus gets tired and the Father subs in the Holy Spirit to kind of give Jesus a breather. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away so the Holy Spirit will come. That's an upgrade. That's an upgrade. That's always baffles me. I'm like, an upgrade from the physical presence of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. It's better for you. It's better for all of us today, 2017, that we have the Holy Spirit with us every single day, throughout the moments of each day and throughout the night, no matter where we go, where we don't go, the Holy Spirit's ever present. And that is in and of itself a massive upgrade from Jesus' limited physical presence on the earth 2,000 years ago.
And it's really a brilliant upgrade when you think about it, because He says, as the Father has sent me, so I now send you. You're going in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So as He goes to the Father, we have this deposit, this foretaste even. I mean, you think about it, then there's millions being sent in His name, filled with His Spirit. I mean, it really is a brilliant plan. The enemy never saw it coming, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's like the miniature multiplication plan strategy throughout, like, how many millennia? I mean, that's like magnificent.
It is. Well, what do you say, Sarah, to the person listening today who's, you know, thinking, I've accepted Christ, but I've really never experienced or sensed the presence or the power of the Spirit of God in my life?
I would strongly encourage each listener. Of course, you know, the book would be a super helpful resource, but I would strongly encourage each listener to look at and read just out of the gate, John chapters 14, 15, and 16. And rather than start with Acts chapter 2, that's the day of Pentecost and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus gives what I call a tutorial. This is the introduction to who the Holy Spirit is. And it's interwoven within those three chapters as far as that introduction. But it's super helpful, because if you think about it, on the day of Pentecost, none of those disciples up there, they didn't jump out the window and freak out. They didn't, like, lose the plot and drop their teeth when all that stuff happened. Tongues of fire, you know, rushing mighty wind. They all start speaking in this strange language. None of them freaked out. They didn't, because Jesus had coached them ahead of time. And so I think demonstrations, let's not get the cart before the horse. Let's look at who's the Holy Spirit first, and then the demonstrations can kind of play out as they will. But I think it's just super essential for us to look at John 14, 15, 16, because that's the introduction. And that helps us know who's the Holy Spirit. So then how can we walk with the Holy Spirit? If we don't know who the Holy Spirit is to start with, then how can we walk with the Holy Spirit? We've got to know the who first before we can do the what.
Well, we've got a break coming up in a couple minutes here, but I want you to comment on this before we go to break. You write, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, many times we get it backwards, focusing too much on what the Holy Spirit does, not enough on, as you just said, who the Holy Spirit is. Love this. Because of this misaligned focus, we frequently find ourselves in user mode with the Holy Spirit rather than in relationship mode. That is so important. Say a word if you would.
My background is kind of from a charismatic background, and I don't know how many sermons, myself included, we'd use this idea of an extension cord, you know, plug into the wall for the power. And I felt the Holy Spirit, particularly about 5-7 years ago, really confront and convict me. Sarah, I'm not an inanimate object. I don't want to be plugged in. I don't want to be used for what I can give you. I want you to know me on an intimate level. Mm. I want you to appreciate who I am. I want to have that connection with you, not for necessarily power and demonstration, but more so to form Jesus on the inside of you, Sarah, so you look and act and behave and have Jesus conversations and attitudes and interactions because of the intimacy inside. And that comes from the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And all of that in Romans chapter 8, super rich.
That's about the best thing I've ever heard said about the Holy Spirit. Just imagine that as we walk intimately with Him and He transforms us into His likeness. And then we see what He does from there. Talking to Sarah Bowling, title of her book, In Step with the Spirit, Infusing Your Life with God's Presence and Power. Really beautiful cover too. Email, love to get your name in on the drawing. Live the promise at myfaithradio.com. Remember that mailing address. And we will be back in a minute. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a great conversation with Sarah Bowling, who's written an amazing book titled In Step with the Spirit, Infusing Your Life with God's Presence and Power. And if you long to have a deeper, more intimate relationship with the treasure of the Holy Spirit, you want this book. We've got 3 copies. We'd love to get a copy into your hands. Just email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. And you said that if we, to reflect the, how do I want to say this again? We need to reflect the vulnerable candor and our willingness to let the Spirit direct our steps. That caught my eye, that there's a vulnerability, there's a humility involved for us to allow the Holy Spirit to direct our steps. Say more, if you would.
Yeah, because we're all independent, you know. I mean, I got life scooped, you know. I know how to do this. And it's not until we're super transparent and vulnerable where we're like, no, I don't have all this life scooped. I don't know how to do this stuff. And you know, I think no matter where we're at in our life, whether we've been living for 75, 80 years, or whether we're just teenagers, no matter where we're in that spectrum, we got kids, we're married, not married, divorced, no kids, we got grand. You know, where we are in that spectrum, I'm coming to the conclusion that I need a lot of help.
Yeah, amen.
I'm the poster child for help, and that's from candor and vulnerability and honesty, and that's Jesus talks about that, the Spirit of truth. And when we follow the Holy Spirit leads us into truth, not only about stuff on the outside, but also stuff on the inside of us. This is, Sarah, you don't know how to do this. Sarah, you have pride in this situation. Sarah, stop being isolated. Stop withdrawing. Stop trying to be all self-important. Stop. And the Holy Spirit starts to really reveal truth on the inside and say, you know, this is good. This is inaccurate. This is really bad. This is Sarah. And then how about those conversations I have like with my kids or my husband or some friends where I didn't do it right. You know, I'm like, ugh, that was cranky. Ooh, that was hostile. Ooh, that wasn't, that wasn't Christ-like at all. In fact, that was not Christ-like. And the Holy Spirit starts to confront those things in me. And I like it. I like it. I don't want to ever, ooh, Susie, this is such a great verse. Proverbs 1:23 says, if you will turn into correction, I will pour my Spirit out on you.
Whoa, that's fantastic.
Legit. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Like, that just goes off like a rocket. Turned into. Me, I always turn away from correction. I don't want you to correct me. Don't tell me I do it wrong, because you know, I got arrogance and I'm oversensitive, you know, all this stuff. But the Holy Spirit, man, when the Holy Spirit showed me that verse, I, you know, almost got on my knees in repentance and said, I want you to pour yourself out on me so I will lean into correction. I'm not going to pull away from it.
Sarah,
in fact, I'm going to welcome it.
Read that verse, if you would, again for us.
Yeah, Proverbs 1:23. I'm flipping in my Bible because I want to make sure I say it exactly right and not misquote it. It says, if, here it is, turn to my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit on you.
Wow.
I will make my words known to you. That's Proverbs 1:23.
That's amazing. I mean, that's amazing.
I know.
Wow. I've read the Proverbs 1,000 times, and that is a truth bomb. Wow. When you look at just how your relationship with the Lord's evolved over the years, and you've become more, I mean, again, it takes humility, it takes vulnerability for the Lord to be able to confront you and correct you, and you not to shrink back going, you know, it was in the Hebrews, it says, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't lose heart when he rebukes you. And I think those are the two extremes, isn't it? I mean, we think about it. We either shrug it off like it's nothing or we lose heart like we're nothing. And yet, if we can understand it's something and we're something, and that's why he's talking to us. I mean, I would love to know, over the years, have you gotten more comfortable in your process because you trust that his voice is, even if it's convicting, it's loving?
Yeah, and, you know, it, like you referred to in Hebrews, it says a father corrects those, his sons and daughters, because he loves them.
That's right, yeah.
And at the core of it, you know, Romans 5:5, it says the Holy Spirit's poured, the love of God is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And so at the ground zero for that correction and discipline and training and confrontation, love is the underpinning for all of that. And
so
when you know somebody loves you, when you know that's their heart, you know that they're not there to, you know, rip your head off. They're there to assist you, to help you grow, to validate, yeah, you got more in you than just what you're settling for. You were duplicitous here. You didn't play honest. You weren't forthcoming. You were kind of manipulative. All those things, the Holy Spirit's like, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. That's my nickname, help.
Yeah,
I'm the helper. So when I think in those terms, then it makes it easier for me to step up to the plate and say, okay, please do what you need to do. Work in my heart. I want, no matter what, I want you to pour yourself out on me. And if it means me turning into correction and welcoming it, then I'm all on board with that. Both feet. I want the Holy Spirit. And whatever that means for me, you know, adjusting and changing and letting the Holy Spirit shape and transform. You know, Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed, be transformed by the renewal. So let the Holy Spirit come in and change that thinking. All that stuff, super, super rich, rich fertilizer for a Spirit-led life.
Oh, boy, that is so good. Would you say that the more that you listen and respond to the voice of the Spirit within you, the more fine-tuned your hearing becomes?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And I think, but I say that with a little bit of a caveat, because I've also found, even within the last 2 to 4 months, there's kind of some, a little bit of peaks, not quite peaks and valleys, but some rolling in it, in the sense of there are some weeks that I feel really fine-tuned, and then there are some weeks where I don't feel quite as keen.
Yeah.
I don't feel quite as dialed in. And I have to be careful, because those weeks when I don't feel as dialed in, I can get frustrated and mad, and then it makes it worse. That doesn't help.
So what do you do when you feel like that?
Yeah, what I really do is I say, okay, Holy Spirit, did I miss you? Have I been obstinate? Have I been listening to somebody else's, the stranger's voice? Am I in any kind of disobedience? Is there sin in my life? And so it just kind of is this, it's a reset, you know, like you reboot your computer. It's a reset to say, okay, help me, dial me in and maybe adjust, recalibrate my sensitivity. Because maybe I got used to doing things with you kind of, and then I just turned into programmatic, you know, systematic instead of organic. And that's something the Holy Spirit's dealt with me in the last 4 months. Sarah, this is an organic relationship. It's not a system. It's not like you can do 2 + 2 = 4, or you know, do like a crossword puzzle or a Sudoku. This is not systemic. It's not just process and you know, dot formulaic and all that. This is organic. And that has been super helpful to me.
So
thinking
helpful
in those terms, because yeah, I think you and I mean, we just had these conversations on the radio, but getting to know each other more and more, it's, you know, it's an organic process with a few hiccups along the road for sure.
Well, when I think about times where I feel like, have I missed it? For me, over and over again, it seems I'm holding on too tight. For me, the catalyst is because maybe I bend towards fear and anxiety, then I'll start to realize I'm white-knuckling and I'm probably not breathing. Then I let go and I surrender and go back to Romans 12 and offer myself up. The peace comes when I let go and trust again. And so, but to know ourselves that way, to entrust that God wants so much to speak to us. So we've got about 3 minutes to our hard break, Sarah. So if you need to carry this answer to the other side, I want you to take as much time as you want. And it seems like an obvious question, but I think there's a deeper answer. But the cast maybe a picture, paint a picture of the ripple effect of many Christians, maybe the implications if we don't listen to the Spirit, if we don't listen to the Spirit and kind of go our own way. There's a significant ripple effect there. So talk about that.
Yeah, it is a ripple effect. And it ripples, it starts like a little drop on the inside. And when we decide to ignore or turn the volume down, decrease and minimize that sensitivity, it starts on the inside. And I've seen this in my life. When I do that internally, then I increase my vulnerability to deception and distortion. And Jesus talks about the stranger's voice in John chapter 10. And what happens is the enemy comes in, and the enemy doesn't come in with a pitchfork and a D on the T-shirt, and I'm the devil, I'm here to get you. The enemy comes in with subtle whispers, just tiny little distortions, little questions, little insinuations. Did God really say? I mean, look at what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. And it's those internal little tweaks, little blips. And what happens if we allow that happen on the inside, then it starts to ripple into bigger and bigger and bigger. So then it affects our conversations, then it affects our decisions, then it affects our priorities, then it affects our relationships, then it affects, you know, our marriages, our families, our kids, affects our finances, affects our moral plumb line. And pretty soon we've lost the plot altogether because we allowed those little tweaks on the inside with not listening and not following the Spirit of truth and walking and letting, Jesus said that, Spirit will lead you into truth. Well, if we're not following truth, if we're not following the Holy Spirit, then we are really prime candidates to walk in deception, distortion, and ultimately destruction. That's what happens. It's just destruction waiting to happen.
And then it's so good. And then you think even on another scale, the adventure of walking in step with the Spirit when he asks us to step out on behalf of someone else, how many people miss a blessing because we're not responding, you know?
And how exciting that is.
Yeah.
Talk about a life of adventure. I never knew adventure until I started to say yes to the Holy Spirit. Mm. Oh, my goodness. Man, it's fun.
I'd love for you to share some of those stories on the other side of the break where you just felt the nudge, the prompting, and you stepped out and what happened. Talking to Sarah Bowling, her book, In Step with the Spirit, Infusing Your Life with God's Presence and Power. Not taking calls today, but if you've got a question about how to walk this out, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you want in on the drawing, email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a minute. My guest today writes this: the Holy Spirit connects us with the reality that we are children of a Heavenly Father who is perfect in love and wise above all things. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Sarah Bowling today. Her book is titled In Step with the Spirit, Infusing Your Life with God's Presence and Power. And before the break, Sarah, you were talking about the part of the adventure of walking with the Lord is responding to the promptings of the Spirit, stepping out in faith. And if you have any examples from your own life, I would sure love to hear some stories.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that over break because I was like, I want our listeners to relate to this and not just like think, oh my gosh, it's like this way outlier, you know, inaccessible. So I was thinking about some of the recent ones. So even last week, my son and I were going into Walmart, and we were getting, I don't know what, it was some quick little errand. And this lady, she's one of the greeters there. She was super nice. And she stopped me, and she's like, "Hey, I recognize you." I'm like, "Yeah," you know, and I was friendly. But I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, she, you know, something in my heart about praying for her, because I saw on her face she kind of had like a rash. And I was like, "Hey," I said, "could we pray for you?" And she's like, "Oh, absolutely." So we just stopped there, right? It's not long, and I didn't yell or anything. I just put my arm around her, and I said, "You know, Jesus, I thank you for your healing power coming into," and I said her name, "into her heart, into her life, into her body, and, you know, balancing out any kind of chemicals and hormones and bringing peace into her soul and peace in her hormones." And so literally, I went in yesterday, and she saw me again because she's greeting in this, my local neighborhood Walmart, and she's like, "Oh, my gosh, Sarah, I'm completely better. Look at my face. My hormones have completely settled down and totally relaxed." I was like, Wow. Sweet. And you could tell a noticeable difference, like from last week to this week, just like that red stuff that she had last week had completely settled out. And so that's an adventure. Then another adventure, there was a lady that was outside of our neighborhood, and she had a flat tire. I could tell she was like doing, you know, like the delivery for food at lunchtime. Well, catering. She had a flat tire, so I knew she had to get to this place to get the food, you know, like at a local office building. So I pulled over and I said, "Hey," I said, "let me help you." And so we loaded all the food in my car, got it to the place on time, and then we came back. I helped her put the tire back on her car. And she's like, "Wow, what can I do for you?" I said, "I didn't do any of this, but for the sole reason to tell you that Jesus really loves you and cares about you. And I don't want anything from you. I just want you to know that." And then I drove away. Not like I was running, but I think sometimes, you know, we think it's got to be this like, woo, smoke and mirrors. I think when we can demonstrate, and Jesus says that, "You will bear witness to me," because the Holy Spirit bears witness to Jesus. Mm. So stuff like that that's just really common. You know, there's a lot of times God will put a Bible verse in my heart for somebody, and so I'll text it to them. I did that this morning. I felt God dropped a verse in my heart about increasing in love, Philippians 1, verse 9. So I shot a picture of it in my Bible and sent it to my friend and said, "I just felt for my prayer time, the Holy Spirit wants to encourage you with this verse." So I think those are adventures, you know, and I could tell you, like, really demonstrative, like, outrageous consequences, which is very entertaining, and it's, you know, mesmerizing. But I want our listeners to be challenged to stir up that walk with the Holy Spirit and not make it so outlandish that we can't think about it in our own lives. What does this look like for me now, today? Mm. So I wanted to make those really practical examples.
I love that you went there, because those are accessible and they're for all of us, truly. And you also tell about a time in the book when you were in a group of gals, I think it was, and different ones were taking turns talking about the same person, a person who's probably pretty frustrating, and there were similar frustrations among the group. And you said you could have jumped in, because maybe you shared the frustrations, but the Spirit was just nudging you to take a different route. Would you mind just sharing that story and how what happened?
Yeah, because it's that gossip thing, right?
Right.
And I think sometimes we, as Christians, will cloak it in the terms of like a prayer meeting.
Yeah.
You know, "Oh, let's pray for them." And then, you know, we'll pray, but it'll just be more like a griping gossip session. And I remember in that one particular situation, I kept feeling this, and it was like that grieving, the Holy Spirit felt was grieved, you know, and it relates to Ephesians 4, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And so I remember, you know, all talking around there, I was like, you know, I'm sure that this person, of course, has some shortfalls, but I think we ought to think in terms of the strengths, because all those things that can be deficiencies, oftentimes, take it on the flip side of it, there's counterpart strengths to that. So let's start thinking in ways that are really, and talking about what are the constructive things that we see in this person, and not just the difficult things, but thinking in terms, and you know, you could feel each one of them kind of, some of them were a little prickly about my input, but some of the ladies were like, "Yeah, you know, that's exactly right. Let's do that." And then, you know, it started to turn the conversation away from sort of the gossipy negativity, and it became significantly more constructive. And then I think each person started to look for what are the good things? What are the things that build each other up and build up this? Because, you know, got problems, no doubt, but we can work body of Christ. So we're there to, instead of tear down, we're to build each other up. And the Holy Spirit helps us do that with encouragement and seeing things from a divine point of view and not just the human deficiencies.
Boy, such a good point. And you can be sure that all of them feel like if I had to pick one person to feel safe with, it would have been you because you did the courageous kind of upstream kind of thing. And the prickly response, you know, is deep conviction. That also goes along with it, with walking in step with the Spirit, doesn't it? There are times where not everybody will understand your convictions, but if you've got a confirmation and your call is to obey whether people get you or not, right?
Yeah, and it can be tricky because sometimes, and here's the tricky part, is it's, you know, you feel like the Holy Spirit's leading you in a direction, and it's a biblical direction, you know, biblically grounded, but not... Sometimes not your friends won't understand, or sometimes you might even have some family members that are like, wow, I don't totally agree with that. But as long as you're biblically grounded, and this happened to me recently where it was like, ooh, man, I had to kind of walk contrary to some of the popular opinion around me. But I knew in my heart, I knew if I don't do this, I'm either going to please the people and displease the Holy Spirit, or I'm going to please the Holy Spirit and I'm going to displease the people. Pick which one. I was like, well, I'm going to please the Holy Spirit, and I know this in my heart, and I chose that. And after the fact, the people came around and said, wow, that was the right decision.
Isn't that interesting? Wow.
Took a little courage.
It does take courage. I love this. You said, I've noticed that when I allow myself to be led by the Holy Spirit instead of my natural inclinations, I like the outcome better. When it's all said and done, that is just what's true. The Holy Spirit wants what's best for us. I mean, I always say the Lord's will for us is our best case scenario. Even if it's not easy, it's our best case scenario, isn't it?
It totally is. And it's not, you're exactly right. It's not the easy path. It's not the easy button, and it's not suddenly everything clouds clear and the thorns fall off the roses. It's not always like that. But at the end of the day, it's the best outcome you'll ever experience in your entire life, far better than anything you could concoct or engineer in your natural thinking or natural abilities.
Well, Sarah, let's talk about this, too. Such an important point. You say we sometimes emphasize being led by the Spirit without first being filled by the Spirit, and that being filled with the Holy Spirit is not this one-time experience. So say more, if you would.
Yeah, Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing. That verb in the Greek is present tense. So it means an ongoing activity. Not just that, you know, I lift up my hands, I say, fill me, and then I'm done and I don't have to do it again for the next 20 years or whatever. I think, my opinion, we leak.
Yeah.
And I mean L-E-A-K, like leak as in drip, drip, drip. And some of us leak, you know, with more of a steady stream rather than a drip, drip. But we leak. And what I've found for myself, and I've been doing this lately in my prayer time, please fill me, Holy Spirit. And then throughout the day, I'm asking, Holy Spirit, fill me. Because I find myself being cranky and prickly about certain conversations, certain situations, certain people. I'll get negative in my thinking, or I'll have kind of insecure moments where I think, oh, man, I just want to withdraw, or I want to reject them before they can, you know, pull away from me. It's just all that human flesh thinking. But when I say, Holy Spirit, fill me, that helps counterbalance that human flesh thinking. Fill me, because I'm struggling right now. I feel insecure. I'm afraid. I don't know how to do this. I feel like I'm trying to compensate and overdo, you know. And then there's the pride part of me. And then there's, you know, the isolating part, independence. And so, Holy Spirit, fill me. I feel like I'm pulling away. So fill me, Holy Spirit, and get me steady again. Fill me up so I'm not running on fumes, so I'm not running on Sarah. For my own ideas, lean not on your own understanding, right? But fill me, Holy Spirit. And you know what? Isaiah 11:2, the spirit of wisdom and counsel, discernment and strength and comfort, and letting the Holy Spirit fill us. Because I don't think there's a listener today that couldn't use a little bit more of all that stuff from,
right,
especially Isaiah 11:2.
You know, just this morning I was reading in the Gospel of Matthew and how the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness. And you touch on this as well, that being led by the Holy Spirit isn't always glorious and blissful. Sometimes he leads us into the wilderness. Speak to that, if you would.
Whew, man, nobody wants to hear that one, right? We all want to hear like it's all wonderful. But that's exactly right. And that Judean wilderness that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into, talk about desolate. Man, I've been there. And you see it, man. There's nothing that's alive there. And the Holy Spirit led him there for 40 days and 40 nights. And yet, coming out of that experience, Jesus was filled, anointed, and powerfully, displayed for the presence of God. And that was the beginning of his ministry. But it was being led into the wilderness. And I think sometimes as believers, we don't want to follow. We don't want to go in the wilderness. And yet that's exactly, the Holy Spirit beckons us to that. And here's the richness of the wilderness. The real depth of that is the experience, the intimacy, and the infusion, I would say, that we have from the Holy Spirit in that wilderness time. Because when we're not in the wilderness, there's all kinds of activities and all kinds of distractions and all kinds of stuff going on. But that wilderness, and it can be a wilderness of the soul even, where we turn away from, you know, just the human flesh stuff, and we nestle into the Holy Spirit. And in the presence of the Holy Spirit, that's when we start to realize who we are, how we're framed together, how we're knit, fearfully, wonderfully made as sons and daughters of God. That turning into the Holy Spirit really solidifies the identity, destiny, purpose. And so when we come out of the wilderness, then we've got some really supernatural tread in front of us, just like magnificent stuff on the horizon. But it's that wilderness walk that really starts to ignite and in our hearts and infuse us with the Holy Spirit and shapes our identity, true identity, and not just kind of the smoke and mirror human flesh stuff.
Boy, you know, I'm not much of a cook, but I know there's this thing called reduction. you boil something down and all the excess goes away till it's just is the pure substance. I feel like my wilderness seasons have been done that to me, where it's purified my motives, it's deepened my sense of identity, deepened my dependence, and you do come out of the wilderness leading on the arm of your beloved. And would you say, Sarah, that's been kind of the same thing for you? How would you say, what were your takeaways from your wilderness seasons?
Yeah, I think one of them is that deeper intimacy with God.
Yeah.
You know, Jeremiah 9:23-24, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, strong man in his strength, the wealthy man in his wealth, but let him who boasts boast that he knows God. And my wilderness experiences, because I've had more than one, one of the best outcomes has been a deeper intimacy with God for me.
Me too.
And because of that, I welcome a wilderness, because I know I'm going to know God better. I'm going to sense God more. I'm going to be more in step. I'm going to be more aligned. I'm going to have that rich, continuous fellowship that, there's no human equivalent to it. I mean, there's absolutely nothing that compares. And I would take wilderness for that intimacy with God, like no matter what, because it's just such a rich experience.
Wow, so good. Talking to Sarah Bowling, title of her book, In Step with the Spirit, infusing your life with God's presence and power. Do you know this is what God wants for you? This is a gift, the precious presence of the Spirit of God in our lives, that we could honor the presence of the Holy Spirit, stay in step with him. That's just the heart of this book, infusing your life with God's presence and power. That's a subtitle. Email if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, Sarah will talk with us about how to handle a closed door. And your role is, if the Holy Spirit is allowing the door to be closed, what are you supposed to do about that? How are you supposed to frame that? More with Sarah Bowling in a moment. Enjoying this conversation with Sarah Bowling today. Her book is titled In Step with the Spirit, Infusing Your Life with God's Presence and Power. If you just hopped in the car, I'm telling you what, friends, this is the one you're going to want to go back and listen to the whole show. We've made it very shareable. I want you to be a radio missionary, because who doesn't need and desire truly to walk more intimately with the Lord and to respond to the nudge of the Holy Spirit within us? You can share our shows by email, Facebook, and Twitter. And Sarah, you've got a chapter titled How to Handle a Closed Door. Love to hear more of your thoughts on that idea.
Yeah, see, nobody likes a closed door. We always want every door to be open and have this welcome, and we can try any place we want to go. And, I don't know about you, but I always pray, like, in Psalms, surround me with favor like a shield. Mm-hmm. And so all these open doors. But that doesn't always happen. And in Acts 16, verse 7, it even says it. Paul and Silas, they were trying to go through Mysia and Bithynia, but it says the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. It was a closed door. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will close a door for us. And I hate it because, I just want to kick it down, and endurance and persistence. And I like what Jesus says, behold, I'll open a door for you that no man can close. But I think it's equally as true that if the Holy Spirit closes a door, then no matter what, no man can open it. And
we don't want to open it, do we? Ultimately, we really shouldn't want to, right?
True. And I think in our flesh, we're like, this on the other side is going to be this fulfillment, this dream, this achievement. This is going to validate me. It's going to make me feel significant. We think on the other side. But and so then we get persistent and endurance and, we cast out the demons or whatever. The devil coming against me, But I don't think we appreciate that sometimes the Holy Spirit closes a door because there's other handles down the hallway that the Holy Spirit has opened for us. And so what happens is we focus on that one. And I saw this in my life. When I first started doing work with Saving Moses, I was trying to get into one particular country. And I beat my head against the wall just incessantly till I was almost like bloody and mindless from it. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, why don't you try a different country? And sure enough, I tried a doorknob, so to speak, of a different country. And it was wide open. I mean, like invitation, it came together like with zero resistance. It was completely supernatural. And I was in awe. I was like, oh my goodness. And so what I learned from that, and that's the same thing for Paul and Silas in Acts 16. They weren't supposed to keep going through, Asia Minor and Turkey, because when you look at this, it was the Macedonian vision. And those doors were closed to Paul and Silas because the Holy Spirit had a brand new continent for Paul and Silas to go to. He didn't want them to keep going and circling and doing the same thing. He had something brand new for them. And so that Macedonian
came with us.
Stayed in Asia. So all those.
We're having some audio problems. I'm going to make sure. Sarah, do I still have you there? Hanging on every word she was saying, this love it so much. And one of the things that she said, we might try to reconnect with her. Erin, I'll have you maybe call her right back. We just got about 5 minutes, 6 minutes left. I don't want to miss this. But one thing she said, that when she was kind of feeling like she was knocking her head up against a closed door, the Holy Spirit whispered to her, Sarah, the problem is you'd prefer to have a path rather than me. And how often do you feel that way, where you feel like, if I'm honest, I want a path. I want a plan. I want to know what my next steps are. And Jesus is saying, this is one of those times that you're on a need-to-know basis. And when you need to know, I'll let you know. I think that's just great wisdom when you think about it. So maybe you're in that not-yet season, and your angst is you don't have a path. And you're hearing the Lord say, just through even what Sarah's saying right now, the problem is you'd prefer to have a path rather than me. And Sarah, I've got you back now. Are we okay here?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. I was just loving what you're saying, and then it got all gobbledygook. But you probably heard what I said, that one of the stories you tell in the book about you were just kind of bumping up against a closed door, and the Spirit of God said, Sarah, the problem is you'd prefer to have a path rather than me. That's a light bulb moment, I think, for many, because we want a plan. We don't think there's anything wrong with it, but there are times we're on a need-to-know basis, aren't we?
Yeah, and instead of trusting the path, we have to trust the Holy Spirit with us on that path.
Well, we've got probably about 3 minutes before it's time to pray, and we'd love for you to say a word about persistence. And I'm thinking of the person who waited on God, they heard from the Lord, they've been in step with Him, but all of a sudden they're facing all kinds of opposition, which really almost always happens. So there's a point where even when we step out and led by the Spirit of God, we're going to have to know how to persevere. Talk about the importance of hanging in there.
Yeah, Galatians 6:9, don't get weary in well-doing. If you faint not, you'll reap a harvest. And there's absolute truth to that. And I think what happens is the Holy Spirit strengthens us on the inside to build that persistence and endurance internally so that we're not overcome by the external, but rather greater is he who's in us than the external opposition. So letting the Holy Spirit be big and strong and courageous and helping us to be bigger and not dwindle and not decrease in front of opposition or hardship or obstacles, but really letting the Holy Spirit be the overcomer in us.
How has he strengthened you in the long haul when you're doing that long obedience in the same direction? How has he come in and given you enough strength to keep on keeping on?
You know, the truth is that my day-to-day Bible and prayer time, and I don't do that for any other reason. I don't do that to get a sermon. I do that to hold me together.
Yeah, me too.
I think I'd fall apart without that day-to-day stuff, day-to-day Bible and prayer.
Well, we just got about a minute and a half, and I'd love for you to cast a vision, just if you could have your dream come true with this book. I mean, I'm imagining, you know, millions of Christians suddenly go, you know, who may be phoning it in, been on autopilot, coming alive to the daily accessible nudges of helping the person on the side of the road, to stepping out in massive ways of faith, but just suddenly walking in a fresh intimacy with God. Cast a vision. If your wildest dreams could come true, what would that look like?
That would look like Romans 8. And, you know, in Romans 8, there's no more densely populated chapter in the whole Bible that has more of the Holy Spirit in it than Romans chapter 8. And in Romans 8, Paul talks about what it means to walk with the Spirit, to have our mind set on the Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit dwell in us, to be led by the Spirit, and to bear witness to Jesus. And all of those things, oh my goodness. And if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that Spirit, the resurrection Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, quickens us, and we live in that resurrection life, and not just kind of the shadowy, murky, halfway flesh life, but we live in supernatural, Spirit-led life, and that, oh my goodness, that's just like tears up the world in a good way. Magnificent resurrection life and love way.
Oh, and he's the comforter. I mean, there are so many aspects that you address in the book of the roles of the Spirit. You know, the one who foretells, he bears witness, he teaches us. So great. Well, as we get ready to pray, I'm wondering if you'd pray for that person listening today. You've wet their whistle. They're like, I'm now hungry and thirsty for more of the Holy Spirit in my life. Would you pray for that person?
You bet. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for drawing us today and putting your desires in our heart. I pray for this individual who would like more, and just even the curiosity. And even if it's just one little nudge more, one little increment more, I just thank you for that willingness and that openness to turn to you and say, could I know you better? Could I have a little bit more of you in my life? Could you fill me a little bit more? I just thank you for that openness and that willingness. And I know, Holy Spirit, that you come inside and you do that and you help us and help us to walk with you better and better, more fully today, but also even more fuller than today, tomorrow, same on Friday, same throughout the rest of the week. Thank you for helping us to walk with you more closely every single day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Sarah, I pray you'll come back and join us again. Just love this conversation. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you. I appreciate you, Susie.
Yeah, you as well. Sarah Bowling, everybody. Title of her book, In Step with the Spirit, Infusing Your Life with God's Presence and Power.
Give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. You can have all.
Loved today's show. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great night. We'll meet you back here next time. For listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.